Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
In the midst of the current political debacle about state appointments, the government has issued new guidelines for the appointment of members of state boards. The Public Expenditure Minister, Brendan Howlan, has promised that a new system will be more transparent and independent, and it will require people to apply for positions on state boards. So how exactly will this work? Might it perhaps be a disincentive to the best candidates applying? On the line now, Senator Fergal Quinn, who was chair of On Post for 10 years. Fergal, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
What do you think of the current row, first of all?
Oh, the current row, it's quite laughable because the speed at which things are changing every minute. And in fact, what happened, the real problem now is that John McNulty's name was on the ballot paper that we all got 2 days ago. And a number of people, and I understand they do it, they say, in case I forget it and miss it, I'll vote immediately. So they've already voted with three people on the ballot paper. So there's still a possibility that John McNulty could end up with the most votes.
And you, I think last week came to his assistance in respect of at least arguing that he was well qualified to be a member of the Culture and Educational Panel.
Yes, you see, my argument is this: it's not when you join the Shannon, you don't just join that panel. You're elected to make sure that that panel is represented, but you also get involved in every single topic. At least you're supposed to get involved in every single topic. And one of my problems, I think I have, is that there seem to be, in government in general, there seem to be too many teachers. Now, I've argued the point, I made this last week, that I've a little concern about anybody running a government department who's never had to worry about where do I get the wages to pay the where do I get the money to pay the wages at the end of the week or at the end of the month. And now we have, for the last few years, we've had three of the four people in the inner cabinet were teachers, and now we still have three out of four being teachers. And now we've candidates, if John McNulty is not going forward, where there are only two candidates and they're both teachers. Now, I'm not anti-teacher, but I am saying I'm a great believer in having experience of running business somewhere in the line, and it doesn't seem to be there.
If you haven't voted, you've got quite the dilemma. I mean, are you going to abstain or spoil your vote, are you?
Oh, I won't abstain and I won't spoil my vote. I'll just have to decide, do I vote for which of them? And I have it sitting here in front of me. I've got to decide, but I have a few days to decide.
There's, okay,
Jerry Crothwell and Catherine Seeley.
Yes.
And Gerry Adams has contacted almost everybody, suggesting Catherine Seeley, who comes from Lurgan in County Armagh.
And you have your own northern connections, of course. So anyway, that's something to take into account. We're not going to ask you how you'll use that secret ballot. But to the point we really invited you on to talk about, Fergal Quinn, this move now to make ministers, to make them choose from a shortlist. All appointees will be chosen from a shortlist provided to them by the Public Appointment Service under a new regime whereby people will have to apply. What do you think of that?
I think anything is good. Any improvement is good. And I think from that point of view, I certainly welcome it. But I have a concern over bureaucracy. I have a concern over the delay and the time it takes to get anything done in government. And it seems to me, if you're going to have to advertise, if you're going to have the interviews, you're going to have the approval, it may well be that it takes a long, long time to get these jobs filled. I introduced a bill about 3 months ago that there should be no pay for people on state boards. People on state boards should be honoured to be asked to go on a state board. By all means, have the expenses of travelling if you're coming up from some other part of the country. Now, the minister didn't accept this. He said, no, if you really want to get the best people on board, you probably do have to pay them. And I'm sure that's correct. So I didn't argue. I did argue very strongly. I thought it was a very good point to make. But it didn't win its way. I didn't manage to convince the government to accept it. And on that basis, I think the government are aware, even then, aware of the problem that there was. But they were aware way back in 1979 when I got a phone call asking me to meet the minister. Now, the minister was Pádraig Faulkner at the time. Jack Lynch was Taoiseach. I didn't know either Pádraig Faulkner or Jack Lynch, but I was asked to become chairman of On Board Pwisht. And they explained to me that they were anxious to get non-political people to be chair. So they asked Michael Smurphy to be chair of the Telecom Board, and I was to be chairman of On Board Pwisht. We changed the name to On Post very shortly after that because people couldn't spell On Board Pwisht. They were putting O's in it and U's in it and H's and everything else on that basis. But it was even aware, the governments were at that stage were aware that they had over 20,000 people working in the Department of Post and Telegraphs. And if they didn't get somebody who was accepted as chairperson of both the Telecom and On Post, that those 20,000 people would feel let down. So I think from that point of view, they were even aware in those days of how important it was.
Yes, but here's the point, though. How would you feel or have felt then, or how would you feel now, with all your experience and your business expertise and background, of having to go through the process of applying and then being vetted and then being put on a shortlist before you ended up as chair of Unpost?
I think there's a fair chance that I mightn't have applied.
Well, isn't this the dilemma now they're going to be faced with? If you, we would all know people who would be serious business people with a lot of experience of running companies, and you say, no, that would be an ideal person to be, let's say for the sake of argument, chair of the ESB or whatever the agency might be. Now, surely they're still going to have to retain, and I think Enda Kenny has left this possibility open, that people will be targeted and asked to take on a job.
I think yes, I think that will happen. I think they will target somebody. They would say there's somebody that would be the ideal chairman of that, who would be the ideal member on that. They would go to them and say, would you apply? Because I can't guarantee you, but I can tell you that the chances are that you will get that job.
And there's also a very serious responsibility attaching to directorships, isn't there? That people, not anybody who might have an interest in how a particular organisation should be run would necessarily have the right qualifications.
Oh, that's correct. And there's a very heavy responsibility. If anything goes wrong, or if you've not done everything correctly, or even if you get the blame, you could lose a lot of face and you could be sued. You could lose a lot of money as well. I know when I went on to the board of Unpost, I was asked, was there anybody in particular I'd recommend to go on? Now, I recommended Tony Halpin of Beamish. He was the managing director of Beamish and Crawford. And I recommended Des Ryan on another occasion. He was managing director of Carles. They were both business people. And we also had a number of other people. There were quite a few trade unionists on board as well. So I can understand the danger that there is of somebody being sued for making a mistake or doing something wrong and getting the blame. And it could cost them quite a lot of money and certainly a lot of face.
You've mentioned something very interesting, though, there, that you had a particular view that if you were to serve as chair, you would have welcomed the support of people you knew to be qualified, people who you felt you could work with and make a success of the thing. Again, that option mightn't be there to a future chair.
Well, I think I certainly felt, now that was a big board, there were 15 of us on that board because the guarantee had to go that one third of the board had to be trade unions members, and then there was the postmasters union as well, so that meant we had to have 15 on board, so it was a very big board, but though the business people who had experience were very valuable members of it. Now, the others were very valuable members as well. Some of them had a great input. I remember Paddy Cardiff of the who was a trade unionist, and I remember he always, one of the things I did in Unpost was change places for the chairman to sit each time. So every time we go in, I move to a different place because otherwise you get the same people sitting around you. But Paddy Cardiff said, if you don't mind, Chairman, I want to sit here because I want to look out at Jim Larkin in the new statue outside on O'Connell Street.
It's a wonder you didn't make them stand. Wasn't that your practice in Superquin?
We did that. Well, we did that in Superquin with the meetings. We had stand-up meetings and the meeting didn't finish until... you didn't get your breakfast until the meeting finished. So we'd meet at 8 o'clock in the morning, everybody's standing up. And I can tell you the meetings were much faster than when we sat around and chatted.
You never proposed the same with the Shannon, though, did you?
No, I don't think I'd get away with the Shannon.
Okay.
Lovely, comfortable chairs in the Shannon.
Yes, and very well upholstered that room is. Senator Fergal Quinn, independent senator, former chair of Unpost for 10 years. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Ed has texted in to say that as we speak, Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney are sitting in a restaurant drawing up a Blair Brown deal on the back of a napkin. Jean says, Willie Walsh is on the NTMA board. He has gifted his fee to the nation and we should have more people like him who do it for the good of the country. Again, the question arises, how would Willie Walsh feel about applying to be a member of the board of the NTMA? Jim and Lucan says, fair play to Fergal Quinn. Far too many teachers double-jobbing in the Dáil. Nobody will tackle this anywhere in the media, but it's the reason why there's more money for developing the Irish language than there is for caring for our sick, aged and vulnerable. It's all a bit cliquish. It's all a big clique, I should say, that ensures nothing ever changes and that the poor stay poor. I suspect there are a lot of people, many teachers among them, who would disagree very strongly with Jay and Lucan, but we get all sorts of opinions coming through. And Beth Corcoran says, Fergal Quinn's comments regarding too many teachers in Cabinet. What happened when we let the accountants and the lawyers take the reins? Our country is a society first. The economy is a byproduct, albeit a very important one of that society. But it's important to remember that putting the economy before our society led to disaster before.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.